Today in this shrine of Our Lady of Fatima, we celebrate a very important feast day, so important in fact, that it is a day on which those who are here and who pray before the image of Our Lady of Fatima here, who has been here since 1929 and have accomplished many, many, many miracles throughout the decades, one can obtain a plenary indulgence, of course, under the usual conditions. But today, we celebrate the feast of Our Lady of the Assumption of Częstochowa. Her principal feasts are other feasts, obviously, just as the Blessed Mother always has many other feasts. In fact, there is hardly a day on which there isn't a feast of the Blessed Mother. So for me, that's a very good thing, because I asked the Blessed Mother that I should die on her feast after communion. So any day, if I die, it will be after communion, and it will be her feast, which it is. Today, of course, will be perfect. And of course, I'm ready. But 20 years ago today, the Blessed Mother performed a great miracle on this, her feast day. And she saved both this parish and me. And of course, since then, we have continued to grow and to exceed ourselves in many, many ways. We are no longer just the parish of St. Stephen, founded in 1922, now beginning its 103rd year. But we also are the shrine, the diocesan shrine of Our Lady of Fatima, seeing the fact that since 1929, this parish and now shrine has had a particular devotion to Our Lady under that title. And of course, every Saturday, with the exception of Holy Saturday, we celebrate the novena after Mass of Our Lady of Fatima on First Saturday, conjoined with benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament. But today we remember this magnificent image, which is here in a small little icon, embroidered icon from Poland, of her. This image that was brought to Poland, it came from Constantinople to Russia and then to the King of Poland. These through the dowries that were given to those who received a princess at that time in marriage to one of the princes or one of the sons, usually the principal son, the heir of the king of any different country. So from time to time, it was handed down. The King of Poland put the beautiful image of Our Lady, which is painted on wood. Some say that it is the wood from the table of the house of Mary in Nazareth. And they attribute it to the beautiful and gracious hands of the beloved physician, the evangelist St. Luke, who heard all these things from her. There was no other person from whom he could have heard everything that he transmits to us in the gospel. And so he painted her with the child Jesus in her arms. Through the ages, because of the candles and the oil lamps that were being burned in front of her, her image became darkened. So she is also known as the Black Madonna, but she's not black and she doesn't want to be cleansed. In fact, in the castle in eastern Poland, where the king placed her, there was a window that was open, of course. There was no air conditioning in those days. And the Tartars and the pagans from Russia shot arrows at the castle, and two arrows pierced the window and went straight to her cheeks. And so her cheek has two slashes. Throughout the ages, several times, including in the 20th century, those who wished to honor Our Lady had famous artists come from Rome and other places to fix the face, to take away the slashes. And they did, and then the next morning when everyone went to Mass, the slashes were back. Three or four times this happened, and It was finally decided the Blessed Mother wants the slashes on her face to show that she too has suffered with Christ for our redemption, and that she too suffers, and it gives us the example of suffering. And of course, we have the first reading from the book of Judith. Judith, along with many others in the Old Testament, are prototypes, in a sense, antitypes, it would be say in Greek, of the Blessed Mother. She who is without sin. She who crushes the head of the serpent. And so Judith courageously went to the tent of the evil king Holofernes, and while he was sleeping, she cut off his head with her sword. And yes, she carried a sword. So does the Blessed Mother. And she still cuts off the head of our enemy. In our day, it is Satan. So this was a prefigurement of that which the Blessed Mother did. By her Immaculate Conception, she crushed the head of the serpent, as God predicted in Genesis 3:15. In the meantime, because of the attack on the Blessed Mother, the king decided to take the image of Our Lady to the western part of the kingdom. And so they proceeded. And on the evening when they approached the hill of Yasna Gora, which means of the light, the king decided that it was time to rest. And there was there a small little hermitage, a monastery of the Pauline monks, of the first Pauline monks, St. Paul the Hermit. And he decided to stop there. And there was a little chapel there, which is still there, of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So he decided that it would be a wonderful honor for the monks if he would place the image of Our Lady in their chapel for them to venerate. And he spent the night there, and of course, I have been there many times. As I've mentioned before, it was the best kielbasa that I've ever had, and the best cheese. Those monks know how to eat. And of course, if you're a follower of Christ, it's not just all penance, but when we do receive gifts from God, we also enjoy them. And the Pauline monks do. And I did with them. So did also the king, Stanislaus. So in the next day, after breakfast, after being filled with wonderful kielbasa and cheese, the king and his party went, and they put the image of Our Lady in his carriage, and they were getting ready to go, and then they whipped the horses, and the horses would not move. And they whipped the horses, and the horses would not move. And they pushed the carriage, and the carriage would not move. So the king said, "She has made her choice. This will be her home from now on." And since then, Our Lady of Częstochowa is also Our Lady of Jasna Góra. And so she is honored there. And it was on her feast 20 years ago that those demons who were trying to destroy us were defeated. And we are still here. And since then, we have been elevated to rector and canon. And the parish has been elevated to a diocesan shrine with all its benefits and all the plenary indulgences that come through here, through us, through the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so we cannot but honor her and give thanks to her today. Last Sunday I mentioned in my sermon, if you hear it on the website, that people today think the worst sin is lust. It's not. It's ingratitude. And the empty pews are a sign of that. Ingratitude. Because there are many people, one, they're new, they don't care. They just arrived here and they think they deserve everything they have. They don't. We don't deserve this Mass or anything else we have. It could be taken away from us any minute. We don't deserve anything good that we have. The only thing we deserve is hell. The only thing that is really ours is our sins. Everything else is a gift from God, and a gift from God through His Blessed Mother, who, as we sing in the hymn, The Immaculate Mary, she is the neck through which all graces flow. Flow from where? From the head, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord, to the body, which is His mystical body, which is here, which is we. We are the mystical body of Christ, not only we, but many others with us. But all that we have that is good comes from Him and comes from her. So we cannot be ungrateful. We need to be grateful on this wonderful day and give thanks to God for all the benefits that He has given to us through His most holy and blessed Mother. Our Lady of Częstochowa, pray for us and continue to protect me, your servant, and this, your house, the shrine of Our Lady of Fatima. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.